Good evening.
It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fran, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Listen, we told you that we
would
be in on Monday.
Good evening. It's 7 p.m.
to be here this afternoon, evening, pretty much, 7 o'clock p.m. on the Marriage Playbook. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Yes, we are back again, and today is Memorial Day, so we want again send out our love to those who gave their lives for us to have freedom. We are so grateful even when these times come around, and know that we're praying for all the families and those who had loved ones who definitely had been in war and gave their lives for this country. So we thank you so much. Also, listen, we're excited about the show. I hope you can hear it in my voice. I'm so excited. I'm feeling a little better. I'm not all congested like I was. And so I'm excited about the show tonight, the Marriage Playbook Season 5, Game 10, Love, Then Romance. This is Season 5, Game 10, Love, Then Romance. We're here in the studio, great city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Oh, just such a beautiful, beautiful day out, night out. It's a little on the breezy, but it's beautiful. Every day that the Lord gives us the opportunity to be up, it is beautiful. And so we're here taping, going live from the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church here in the city of Philadelphia. So listen, Coach Eric is here. We're going to get this show started. Coach Eric, how are you tonight?
It doesn't matter because it's the Marriage Playbook Season 5, Game 10, and I'm doing just fine. All right, listen, we're going to get right into the subject of our show. It is love, then romance. Love, then romance. Sometimes we believe in our relationship that there exists love and romance. And when they mention love and romance, they mix those two things together, like they go together, and sometimes they are separate entities on their own. You know, because we express this intimacy, and it's sometimes a physical intimacy, and what it does is make us feel good and feel so emotional and feel so alive, and we have all this passion, but then there's no commitment whatsoever. So this while we're going to get into the subject, we're going to deal with love, then romance, and we're going to talk about it in the order that it should be. So we're going to go to our commercial. We're going to come back and get started with the show right away. So we'll be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship, prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic. All right, so we're back, and we're talking about love and romance. Love, then romance. So as we're talking about love and romance, Coach Eric always let us know the things that God does when it comes to setting and establishing what marriages is and what marriage and relationships and how God established it from the beginning. And because he established it, you must know that there is a way that they are established. There's a way that we should date. It's a way we should court is a way that we should run our marriages. It's those things that we should do that will, because marriage is to bring glory to God. So if God is not getting glory out of anything that we're doing, listen, we got to go to him and make sure that what we're doing is pleasing unto God. And so we're going to talk about love then romance, and we're going to talk about it because it is two different things. There's two different things. Totally two different things. And sometimes when we're looking for love, sometimes it may be romance that we want or we desire. And then sometimes we're getting a lot of romance and we don't understand that it's not love. And so we're going to get into the show on tonight about the difference and what it is. And so a bee and a flower are having attraction to one another, okay? They give you what you wanted. They give you, when I say they give you what you wanted, normally when a bee, like a bumblebee, is to a sunflower seed, and then the bee is attracted to the flower, but then also something is taking place. Like, I didn't know that bees go all the way to a whole nother side of the earth or whole nother side and then drop the pollen or the what they call it, that it drops and then it forms more flowers or it forms more things. So I wasn't really sure, I'm not really sure of the name of it, but those things work together like they're supposed to, you know. And so we're so excited about the show and what we're going to do with discussing this. So we have a few scriptures, of course, because we're going to go through the different scriptures that we have. We're talking about the physical attraction first, okay? Physical attraction is not love. I think a lot of times when we see people, when we got this thing where, oh, I love them, or I'm feeling some type of way about them, and that's the first thing we say is that it's love. And that is not love. There's nothing wrong with even being physically attracted to someone, but if it gets to the point where you're physically attracted and that's all you want, then it turns into lust or a sexual attraction, then you really have to check your motives. You got to check, why are you attracted? You know, some of the things I found out in life and even in my experience is that I always attracted who I was at that time, and that was not a good person. You know, so when I attract, when I attracted things, it was always because, okay, let's say it like this, insecurity. You know, I attracted somebody that I knew that was going to dominate the relationship, or someone that I knew that that they can be in control of it. Like I wanted them to be in control because of my low self-esteem. It was always somebody that would dominate over me because of my low self-esteem. It was another incident where I had this thing where I hated men, you know. So when I was in a relationship, then guess what? I mistreated them, and I didn't, you know, now I was attracted to them, but I was not in love with them, you know, nor did I love them, you know. I just was with that individual because that's just something I wanted to do at that time, you know. And sometimes we have to be really careful, especially as Christians, because as Christians, our mindset is supposed to be different. You know, our desires and what we want and how we want to do things should be really different. And don't get me wrong, these things we have to learn, we have to grow in Christ, and things will be developed where we won't be that old man anymore, but we have to get to the point where we say, you know what, God, I'm really seeking to be whole in you in every area. So now you're not just looking for the faith, the attraction of a person, but now you understand what love is and what it is that you're looking in a relationship with someone. Thank goodness for Coach Eric. Praise God. I was trying to kill this thing, but I'm just so grateful that it is a difference. It is a difference, and I'm learning even the more. If you don't learn how to love yourself first, you won't know how to love someone else. And we say it all the time, but it's a true fact. It's true. You know, I wrote down something today, and it says a lot of times we don't want to spend time with ourselves to know ourselves. And sometimes we're scared because sometimes we want to face who we are. We don't want to face those things. We want to continue to be comfortable at where we are when it comes to changing our lives. Because really, the change has to start in us first. I talked about how I had all these relationships, and when I look back on them, I look at the flaws and the different things I had in my life, or the thing, yeah, my life personally that I need to be delivered from. Because I end up always in these bad relationships, not because of the person, but I attract who I was, you know. So we're talking about the attraction, you know, and how love is not, you know, being in love because you attracted to someone, you know. And then this is where we get mixed up because now it's the romance, you know. So now we attracted, so now we want all this romance.
Yeah, when I think about attraction, I think about it like a bee towards a flower, like a bee towards a flower. We're automatically and organically attracted to each other,
right?
The opposite sex. All right. Now, she mentioned that physical attraction was not love, and I want to kind of deal with that, okay? Because what happens is romance becomes the smokescreen for a real relationship. What does it do? It takes away our ability to see what we're actually dealing with in front of us. You know, we're on a date. Everything looks beautiful. Okay, we're dealing with this beautiful atmosphere we've been, because, you know, when a man takes a woman out to a dinner, he's trying to impress her. He's going to take her to a nice restaurant, and it is this word we use called ambiance, okay, which deals with the environment and the character of the atmosphere, and it always gives us an impression or a tone of romance. You know, something that's whimsical. And all these things take our attention off the whole purpose of why we're on a date in the first place. All right? We don't take a person on a date to get to know what a place looks like or to make us feel a certain way. We're supposed to be getting to know each other.
And I remember when me and Coach Eric was doing this show or preparing for this show, and I remember talking about this, and he was asking my opinion. Like, we kind of discussed things. And one of the things he said, or what I said to him, was, Coach Eric, my opinion, now we're going to get into some scriptures, but my personal opinion, what I saw was wrong a lot of times, is that we were always trying to have these romantic dinners. If you are a Christian and you are dating somebody for the first time, you should not be in a diner or a dinner place setting with it being all romantic. It shouldn't be, the light shouldn't be all dim and the candles is all lit. That's not the kind of date that you're supposed to go on with somebody that you're going on a date with for the first time, second time, third time, whatever. We're going to get into that too, you know. And I noticed, and I told Coach Evers, I said, do you notice everywhere you go that every restaurant now is dark? You know, I don't want to start naming them, but I'm starting to realize just regular fast food, sit down, get something to eat, everything is just dark, you know, because it's always trying to set the mood and whoever's there, and if you're sitting there, you're supposed to be feeling some kind of way, you know, and that is something we have to watch out. You know, I've never seen so much in my life. We as Christians, we are being overtaken by the very littlest things. It's the very little things, the subtle things that we say, oh, it's all right, oh, you know, but we never ask God how do he feel about it, or we never consult God so we don't get caught up in traps. We don't consult God on these things. But I noticed that every restaurant is dark now, and it don't have to be no five-star and all of that. Just regular restaurants are just everything is dark.
Okay, again, remember how I talked about ambiance and creating the atmosphere to impress this aura or mood or feel or tone, you know? Listen, all of it deals with getting us in the mood to be affectionate. Okay, now let's define this word affection. All right, affection is a gentle feeling of fondness, endearment. Now, it's a feeling of love and of devotion. Now, let's pay attention to these words, man. Fondness, love, devotion, endearment, okay? Now, affection, right, is not a product of devotion, okay? It should be the other way around. Once you become devoted to a person, then there should be affection that comes after devotion. You understand what I'm saying? What we do is we get in these non-committed relationships because we have been affectionate toward one another.
Right.
What we're dealing with is intimacy.
Right.
And if you didn't know, intimacy is only reserved for marriage.
That's right. That's where Coach Eric hit it, right on the nose. And that's where we mess up every time, because we give out something to someone else that does not belong to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we get hurt.
When it's not reciprocated.
You know, it's when it's not reciprocated. You know, and the danger in that is now you're hurt and you're bitter because you done gave up something that you never was supposed to give to someone else that was not your husband or your wife.
Listen to this. It's not even fair when you get hurt by that individual that you was intimate with. Why? Because that person did not sign up for anything other than the intimacy.
Right.
That's all they signed up for.
Right.
They came with the intimacy. You reciprocated intimacy.
Right.
And then you're trying to put, you know, some type of demands on them to have a committed relationship when all y'all started out with was intimacy.
That's right.
And that's not what he signed up for.
Right.
That's why
right.
he or she is ready to run.
Right.
Now that you're getting serious,
right.
they want to run now.
Right.
You're getting committed. Now they want to run now. Why? Because all they wanted was the intimacy that you agreed to.
Yep.
So it's even not even fair to judge them harshly. Why? Because you involved yourself and participated in this intimacy.
I mean, I love it, Coach Eric, and this is why. Let me tell you something. You really have to raise the standard. In fact, let me go back and say this right. God, through his word, has given us a bar, a standard that we should go by. And when you're not at that standard with anything that you're doing in your life, I'm talking about even with dating and going out, you know, it should be a standard. No, I don't do this. No, I don't do that. No, I'm not going to do this. Why? Because you know that it's dangerous, especially if you're not delivered. And we talk about this all the time. Okay, I understand. We all have one time or another come out the world. We've done things, you know, but if you don't have your flesh under control, you shouldn't be dating anybody, you know. And I see people falling apart and stuff happening all the time. And one of the reasons is because one minute, okay, I think I got this thing together. I think I got my flesh under control until you date somebody. Then you find out, you know what, I'm not as in control of my flesh as I thought I was.
Mm.
You know, and that is a dangerous game, man. My thing is that I'm just saying for me, this is just advice. You know, this is from personal advice that I did not date anyone after that bad relationship I had. I'm talking in Christ. I had a bad relationship in Christ. And after that relationship, I promised God that I was not going to date anybody else because I did not want to put myself in a position where it would separate me from God. And I realized I began to start compromising who I was in Christ because of who I was dating. And that's a serious thing because what we have learned to do or what we have done and what I'm starting to see more and more, even with young people, what we say is, oh, well, older people don't know and the church don't know and I need to do this because we – no, no, no. God has a standard for everybody. I don't care how old you are. God has a standard in his word for everybody, and it's all the same, and it is holiness, and it's something that he has given us for the protection of our lives. And so when you come from under the bar or under the covering or don't want to meet the mark of trying to live the life God has required of us, you are going to get in trouble every time. You are going to get in trouble.
What are we talking about? We're talking about romance. We're talking about going out on a date with someone. You know, let me show you how it's really not a safe place. Now, I'm not against dating.
No. Nope.
But we got to do it in its proper perspective.
That's right.
Now, listen, all this holding hands and putting my arm around you, it seemed like an innocent thing if it ain't full-blown intercourse.
That's right.
Let me show this thing to you. Now we're going to get into the marriage playbook. Let's deal with Paul in the Church of Corinth, right? The seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians. Right. Look what the first verse says. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, that's on a foot, hand, elbow, hip. You can't touch a woman. I'm going to read further. And here is why. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication.
That's it right there.
To avoid fornication. Now, you don't go on a date as a Christian looking to fornicate. Because as you know, fornication is sin. Remember how I said, love without romance, that's not good. If you love somebody, you married to somebody, it should be some romance in your life. But romance without love is worse. Why? Because that's fornication. That is sin.
Right.
Nevertheless, Paul said, to avoid fornication.
Right.
So you think it's innocent to hold that person's hand? Let's go even deeper. This boyfriend, girlfriend stuff that we're doing in church, that shouldn't be. That's nowhere in the scriptures. I don't see where you'd be somebody's boyfriend. Obligations on a person that you're not married to.
That's right.
And you got these fights going on between men and women who are not married in the house of God. That's my boyfriend. Don't look at, well, wait a minute. That's not your husband, right? If that's not your wife, shut up. You got no rights to that individual until you get married.
Yeah.
That person is full game to the point to your wedding day. He is fair game. She is fair game until you get married. Now, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, and this is all the scripture talks about, that every man have what? His own wife. Let everyone have what? Her own husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives you what to do. Let the husband render unto the wife what? Do benevolence. Likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife have not power over her own body. Now how is a man or a woman having power over somebody they're not married to?
Come on, Coach Eric.
And you in the house of God talking about that's my man, that's my woman. That's not your man. That's not your woman until y'all get married.
That's right.
So you have no power over that individual.
That's right.
And if that person gives you power over them, it is inordinate.
Okay, Coach Eric is a little excited over here. I'm about to take an offering. He is just excited about the word, but it's so true, you guys. You know, and know that all that we say in love, but we're talking about protecting yourself. You know, the word of God has the remedy not only for us to be sanctified, to be holy, to be able to keep the Spirit, God will keep us if we want to be kept. But I'm talking about knowing what to do and how to do it. So he wants me to continue on. I'm going to continue on reading, starting at the fifth verse. And it says, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time. We all know this scripture, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and praying. If I want to pray, I want to fast, I'm talking to my husband. And then it says, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for the incontinency.
Explain that. Or get into that. Or I'll explain it.
Oh, geez.
Let me get into it. There's no way in the world that people in the body of Christ, married folks in the body of Christ, should be playing the game with sex.
That's right. That's right.
With holding sex back from the husband or holding sex back from the wife. Like you got... we just read the scripture. You don't have power over your own body.
Right.
So when that man said, look, listen, I need you to go upstairs and get naked because you know it's time to do the thing. All right? All right? There should not be a problem with that. You know, you drop the kids, you drop the dish, you go upstairs, you get naked.
For the first, and vice versa.
Let's
not get that thing.
You know, that's not something that we're supposed to be playing with. The scripture tells us what to do here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For would have, this is 7 verse, I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man have his proper gift of God, one after his man, another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them that they abide even as I. So Paul is saying, it's good that you don't even get married, and what he's talking about so that you can serve the Lord without distraction. But if you're going to get into the distraction of marriage, which God allows and ordained, it comes with some rules, y'all. And we're going to get into that.
All right. And so we are going to get into it. I'm telling you, I'm just excited about God's word and what he is instructing us, because we have instructions. We have commandments. We have precepts and concepts. We have stuff that we are supposed to obey through God's word. So, look, we're going to go to a commercial really, really quick, and we'll be right back with the marriage playbook.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the marriage playbook.
Magnify his name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709. Or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify his name.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic. Yes, we are back. Thank goodness. All right. So look, I know we are back, and we're still in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. I just want to read this one last scripture because I've also saw this a lot, and this has happened because of dating. I've seen couples date each other, and then because they may have made a mistake and, you know, okay, you sinned, you fornicated, you know, instead of the party saying, okay, listen, we want to please God, we don't want to do anything, the Bible lets us know if you can't contain yourself, then let the two people be married, for it's better to marry than to burn. And to me, I think that's dangerous also, because if sex is the only thing that's going to keep y'all together, let me tell you, first of all, sex is not going to be the only thing to keep you together, okay, because, you know, you're going to need more than sex, trust me, you know, and sex is just not enough. You know, being able to be a good cook is not enough. You know, all these fairy tales that people tell you about marriage, trust me, it's going to truly take the love of God, the obedience of God, and the true love for the person that you're with. So what you going to do when that person can't have sex with you? You know, you going to leave them? So this is why it's a serious thing. And I've seen so many people do this, and they had to suffer through so much turmoil because they didn't get to know the person. They don't know that this person had 5, 6, 7 baby moms. They didn't know that they had 100 kids. They don't know that they were a liar. They don't know that they was a thief. They didn't know anything about the person. And then they suffered so much in the marriage. And then the first thing we're saying is, oh, I want to get a divorce. You know, and I've seen that. And I've seen people use it and literally say, well, it's better for us to marry than to burn. You telling me that you're not going to surrender your life to God, for God to deliver you, that God might deliver him, and that God then in the end, if that is your husband or that's your wife, that God can make y'all whole and make y'all one together? You know, that's not more important than you just having sex. And this is why we got to be careful. We got to be careful with the smiling at each other and the winking at each other and all those things that stir up all these emotions that will have us doing something that's going to be against God's word. You know, we're still in the marriage playbook, but we're in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, 21st verse, and it says, touch not, taste not, handle not. You know, touch not, taste not, handle not. Man, that is my – I love this scripture because it always made me cautious about things I should not be doing, you know, things that I know that I should not be touching, things I know I should not be tasting, you know, and things I know I should not be handling. It's things that's against God's word. And then it says, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. And then it says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom – in will worship and humility of neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. We can't be trying to satisfy this flesh. We can't be trying to compromise with what we think is right in this flesh. You know, listen, and we got to be careful that we don't let our conscience get seared. Because I remember when you were a babe in Christ, everything you're watching out for. You're making sure you don't talk, say this wrong. You make sure you don't do this wrong. Oh, I make sure I don't go here. I make sure I don't touch that. I make sure I don't. But then we start, you know, developing a little bit in Christ, and now everything can go. You know, everything can go. We can do everything now. We can say everything now. We can go everywhere now. We can listen to everything now, you know. And then what we say is, oh, this is the new times, and, you know, you just old, and you just, you know, you don't, you know, you're not with the times, and this is what we, no. The Bible tells us not to leave the old landmark, not to leave those things that God has already told us from day one, the things he commanded us. When you was a babe and loving Christ, you wasn't out here touching and tasting and doing all the stuff that the world now is telling us is okay. And I got scripture even with that. We're not supposed to. You know, we let our guard down so easily when we say we love God. You know, and if we really love God and God is in our hearts and he dwells with us and in us, guess what? You don't want to do everything to displease him. You don't want to dishonor the Father, you know. So I don't care how much you like that person, you're going to cut it off until you get it right because your relationship with God and your love for God is just is so more important, you know, and it should be. And until you get to that place that you can make God totally first and committed in your life and he's first and he's Lord of all, you know, and that, you know, you're willing to sacrifice and give up no matter what and to do the things he say do and respect. Listen, you're not ready for dating. You're not ready to be with nobody. Because if you're going to be with somebody that can turn you from God in an instant, something's wrong. Something's wrong.
Let's stay with 2 Colossians. Let's go up to the 20th verse. And this is talking about people in Christ. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, 20th
yes.
verse, from the rudiments of the world, the rudiments of the world, how the world reacts, how they move. Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? In other words, do we do like the world do because that's their rudiments?
That's how they do things.
Yeah.
And Christians, I hear a lot of Christians say this today. Oh, that's the old way, man. It's the reading a new day. Now, wait a minute. The Bible don't say nothing about a new day. The Bible said there's nothing under the sun that's new.
None of this,
you think they wasn't partying and discoing back in Jesus' day? And even before then? They didn't have riotous living and robbery and music and dancing and nudity? You think this is a new thing?
And God, same command.
And God was against it even then.
That's right.
But we behave like the children of Israel, most of us Christians do. We go right into that world and adopt all of that stuff and start living that way and trying to say that's all right, and then trying to let the church, make the church embrace it as right.
Right.
So now we got everything going on in the house of God now.
And guess what else? When someone speaks against it or someone stand up for the gospel in which Christ has told us to, what we do, we start down-mouthing and bad-mouthing the church. And I don't understand that. I don't understand. Okay, people say, oh, the church hurt me. No, the church didn't hurt you. It was that individual that hurt you that was in church.
Right.
It's nothing wrong with Christ's body.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing wrong with the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There may be something wrong with people in the body of Christ, but it's nothing wrong with Christ's body. What God did for us, what Christ did for us over 2,000 years ago was perfect and is still perfect. And he's still alive, and he's still reigning. And I guarantee you, if you ever just stop and give him full commitment of your life and turn everything over, I guarantee you, you will see that everything in this word that God gave us to do, it works, and it works for your benefit. And then guess what? This word is here to govern our lives and to protect us from the hands of the enemy. But we jump right out of God's hand into the enemy's thing, and then we get caught up, and then we don't know how to come back to church. Or even if we come back to church, we hurt, we battered, we bruised, and we broken, and then we don't want nobody to fix us. We don't want nobody to correct us when we're in error. We don't want nobody to love on us and tell us this is wrong and that's wrong. Even when people trying to help, we got such an attitude about what we did wrong. Our error, our ways, the mistakes we made, and then we come back and we give everybody attitude like they were the ones that did it. Instead of us taking responsibility and say, I did that, I was wrong, listen, I need to get myself together, And guess what? You got people that's going to love on you and help you, but you got to, be willing to receive the help, and then don't beat yourself up. Everybody has made mistakes. Everybody has did things in their time before Christ and in Christ. Saying is, don't stay there. Don't perpetuate the same mistakes over and over and over again. That's all. Take advantage of grace, but take advantage of grace and grow in grace. Don't take advantage of grace and just say, oh, God going to let me stay where I'm at because he's the all-loving and all-knowing God. No, there's a penalty for sin. There's a penalty when we don't obey God. It's a penalty when we don't follow his commandments. I want to read this word about the rudiment, the definition. It's the first principles of a subject. And I thought that was really deep. Why? Because the first principles, nothing changed. Nothing changed in God's word. You know what changed? God's people change when start doing whatever they want to do. But God's word didn't. The Bible says that God, he changes not.
He's not one that changes.
So he didn't change. He didn't say, it's all right to do this. It's all right to do that. Okay, you can do this now. You can do that now. No, it's the same thing. It's stuff we should not be touching. It's stuff we should not be tasting. And it's stuff we should not be handling.
That's it.
And when we do that, it's a pitfall. The enemy is setting us up. And we really got to open up our eyes. We talk about being in the last days, but, man, this thing is getting really, really crucial. And you have to make a decision. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom you going to serve.
Yeah, it's dating season. This weather's getting nice. And I hope we're getting people that's out there dating Christians that's going on dates. I hope we're giving you a lot to think about.
Yeah.
A lot to think about. The title of our subject today, Love, Then Romance. I should have said love, marriage, then romance. That's what I should have said. Okay, because let's talk a little bit about romance and the danger of it. Romance behaves as counterfeits disguise. It's a disguise, and it can be disguised as fake love, okay, because it feels like love or how we think love should feel. And this is what romance does. It disguises itself as love. Only because we believe love, most of us, we believe love is a feeling. 75% of the time when people say, I love you, what they're really saying is, you make me feel good.
Right.
I like how you make me feel. I love you. And they speak from emotion and not knowledge. Order for you to understand what love is, you're going to need God. Listen to all these so-called love songs we got out here in the world. It's always talking about how someone makes you feel, you know, or how somebody, now this is Christian radio, but this is adult, how you hit that spot, you make me feel real. It's all about what you did to me that night that made me feel that way so I can say that I love you.
Right.
And then they get painful because somewhere along the relationship, somebody gets dumped. And then ain't no love anymore.
But
so then the song is about how we lost love. Like, that's possible. If you really had love, you wouldn't lose it. But that fake love, you lose that all the time. Because it's really not love in the first place. So all this, what we call love making, all that takes is some sexual skills, some kind of prowess. But this is not making love like we call it. Because you really can't make love. You can only display love once you understand God. Why? Because God is love. Anyway, love made us, and love made us to love him. And that's how we understand what love is, through God. We can't get it no other way. And if we do, it's the counterfeit love. Until we learn to love God, we can't possibly love someone else properly, in the right type of order, in the way God had it set up, in the way he intended love to be.
Yes, Coach Eric, you are hitting it about the love. And I just wrote a note to myself. Let me tell you, love don't always feel good.
You got to say, note to self.
Note to self. Love don't always feel good.
Oh, no.
You know why? Ask Christ.
Yeah.
You know, when he died for us, I'm quite sure that wasn't a good feeling. But because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's love.
Mm-hmm.
And love don't always feel good. And I'm going to be honest, as a wife, love don't always feel good. You know, what I'm going to say, oh, I'm upset with Coach Eric today because he said something, so now I'm not going to cook dinner.
Mm.
You know, I'm not going to iron his shirt. I'm not going to get his shoes buffed. I'm not going to, you know, that's not love. And, in fact, that's me feeling some type of way, so now I'm not going to display love. See, we got it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we feeling some type of way, then that's when God wants us to display his love
mm-hmm.
towards the very person you got an issue with. But we won't do that.
Right.
We won't do that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, which brings me to my last point and final point of today concerning the segment. And it's called Love's Standard. Love is God. We understand that. God is love. But love got rules.
Love got rules.
Love got rules. That's what a lot of people don't understand, is that love got rules. Oh, we're going to talk about some rules now.
Yep, that's right.
Sometimes love means no romance. Now, for all you all that have been romantic with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, cut that romance and see how much love is left after you cut that romance.
Sure.
Because love got rules. If God is love and love is God, love got rules. So if you're not married, love to you means no romance. Why? Because if you offer intimacy and love, man, love, what, love and, if you offer romance and intimacy, what you're saying is, I don't love God. Why? Because God commands that you don't do this. Love got rules. Number one, and I said it earlier, romance and intimacy. And I'm talking about kissing, hugging, sex, intercourse, holding hands. Love, romance, intimacy is reserved for marriage. Number one, intimacy is reserved for marriage. So if you're being intimate, you're outside of God's law, outside of his will, because it is reserved for marriage. The only thing Bible talks about is marriage is honorable. So having a fake wife or a wifey or whatever you want to call it is dishonorable. Deflowering a woman, having sex with a woman who is not your wife, is dishonorable to her and her family and to your own body, and vice versa. So when you start your whole relationship out with just sex, just romance in the beginning, pretty much doomed to fail, because there's so much you don't know about love that you got to learn on the fly now. Especially if you get married because you had sex. Number one, romance and intimacy is reserved for marriage. Why? Because love got rules. Number two, marriage is a covenant, not an agreement. It is a covenant between a man and a woman and God. I'm going to say that nice and slow so the LGBTQ community can hear me and everyone else who says that's okay. Marriage is a covenant between a man, masculine, and a woman, feminine, and God, who created both of them. Number three, love is self-sacrifice. It ain't selfish. It ain't greedy. It's self-sacrifice. Even the sacrifice of your own life for that who you love. Like Christ did for us. Like God lost his son, gave his son for the whole world. That we may be free. Out of love. He said God loved the world so much. This is my words, paraphrasing. He loved the world so much that he gave his only son, the only son he had, to cover our sins, for the sins of the whole world. He died for all of us. That was love. The Bible denotes there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So love is self-sacrifice. Number four. Love does not hurt. It don't hurt. People say love hurts. It's on bumper stickers, on t-shirts. Love does not hurt. You don't hurt the one you love or the ones you love. And the ones you love are not supposed to hurt you. If someone's slapping you around, that's not love. Number five. And here's where the discussion is going to get really open. Love cannot be attached to everything. Now we're in an open discussion about this because we call everything love. And I'm not hopping on the alternative lifestyle community, but they say that what they're doing is love. But when it's outside of the will of God, it cannot be designated or explained as love. Because you cannot attach love to everything and call it love.
That's right. And I love what you said, Coach Eric, because you can't slap somebody around and be in an abusive relationship and say, oh, I know because he loved me.
Oh.
No, that's not love. You know, somebody abusing you and using you and always degrading you, and that's not love. And I think, again, it goes back to what I started in the beginning of the conversation. A lot of times people can see if you're desperate, so they'll prey on you. People can see if you have low self-esteem, you know, and not only will people prey on you, you will just give yourself over to anything because you think you need love and you think that's what love is. And it goes back to what I said again, if you don't learn how to love yourself, I mean literally love yourself. You know, I hear people say, oh, well, I don't like to go out by myself. Well, I don't like to. Let me tell you something. When I was single, I took myself out on dates. I took myself and got my feet done, my nails done. That was time for me and God. So God not only destroyed those things in my life so I could know who I was and the things I liked about myself, but then I can also see the areas and issues that was wrong with myself. And guess what? You ain't going to learn that being around a whole bunch of people. So I guarantee you, if you've never had that time or that season where you had to be by yourself and learn yourself and develop in that, trust me, you're going to always be making the same mistakes. Some people don't want to be by themselves because they already know who they are, you know? So you got to have a mind that I'm going to change. I don't want to stay in the same condition and state that I was in, especially not after Christ. He comes to make you a new creature. You shouldn't be the same. You know, it should not be the same. I want to read this really quick. We're still in Colossians, but I'm going to read this real quick. And it says, Colossians 3 and 9, it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We're supposed to be putting off that old stuff and have put on what? The new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know, I'm going to skip down just a little bit. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Sounds a little bit of the fruits of the Spirit to me.
Right.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Man, I'm telling you, it's just how you not forgive your brother and your sister. I don't care what happened. You know, it keeps us so divided. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is bond of perfectness. Perfectness, perfectness, thank you. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. I want to finish reading this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Watch this. We can't do that if we got all these issues and stuff going on. We can't even help nobody else. You know, we can't. We can't help nobody else, but we in the body of Christ, and it should be a change when you have surrendered your life over to God. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I said all of that to go back to what I was saying about we got so much to work on our individual lives before we can even bring somebody else in.
Okay, well, we're talking about now, and still we're talking about love having rules. Let me show it to you this way.
That's right.
Sin that we found ourselves in, that we swam in and lived and embraced, sin destroyed us spiritually. It destroyed us physically. It destroyed us
mentally.
It destroyed us in every way.
That's right.
Okay? It's because we were without love, and in this world, without love. Now, obeying the rules of love, that is embracing Christ, is what brings us back to success in life.
That's right.
Why? Because the rules that love governs us through the word of God is what brings us back into relationship with God. And then it has us walking upright like he made us. Okay? Now, this is equated to loving oneself. If one gives his life to God, what he is doing is learning how to love himself when he was hating himself in sin. Love God rules. And if you obey the rules of love, your outcome is going to be blessed because of it.
Right, that's right.
Particularly when it deals in relationships. You can't go into a relationship hating yourself and then put yourself in a position to be hated and defined by someone else who doesn't love you.
Right.
You got to have love going into the situation.
And you also can't hate yourself and not love yourself and then put all these demands on other people and expect all these people to make you happy, because that's not going to work either. So So, look, we're going to a commercial timeout. Listen, I hope, man, that this was blessing to somebody. I know it blessed me every time. I pray that it was a blessing. But, look, we're going to a commercial timeout because we got to get out of here, Coach Erin. Mm-hmm. So we'll be right back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, so listen, you guys, we love y'all. Listen, we got to get out of here. Our time is running out. Listen, we were so excited to come on here and share this information. I pray it was a blessing. Listen to me. Pick up your word and read it because you'll start seeing that you're going to change by the things that's in the word of God. You're going to see, you're going to be like, first of all, you're going to see yourself in there, and you're going to be like, oh, my goodness, you know, oh, I need to change that. And I think that's why a lot of people stop reading the word because we think that because if we don't read God's word, we still won't be held accountable. But we're going to be held accountable for everything we have done in this body, good or bad. You know, praise God, you know, but we want to get it right before he calls us home. We want to get it right before the rapture come. We want to get it right before he come back. Amen. Amen. So we can live an abundant life in Christ because that's what he came for. He came to establish that for us and we can have it. So look, we're going to go, but before we go, we got a phenomenal, phenomenal PJC Media family, awesome, 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 awesome show. So listen, I need you to tune in on Sundays to Dovetails with Deborah. That's at 2:30 p.m. Also go on Tuesdays, the Parker J. Cole Show. That starts at 7 p.m. On Fridays, Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, and that's at 8 p.m. On Fridays at 2 o'clock, you can go on and listen to Parker Cole Show. Mondays, you know it, the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. Listen, I pray that we said something that encouraged you tonight. I know all the times it might not sound good, it might not feel good, but know that it's love coming from Coach Eric and Fran, and we just pray that households be successful, marriages be successful, our children be successful, because our children will be successful because we as parents and adults are going to be successful. So listen, we love you guys. Definitely keep praying for us. Continue to just keep calling in, tuning in. Also, go to the Marriage Playbook at gmail.com and leave your comments about tonight's show. We want to hear from you, and we will definitely say it on the air. We love you guys. Good night. See you on next Monday. This is the Marriage Playbook.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.